Last week, we were in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. This week, I'm going to be taking you back there for a very brief visit, a reading from the first human story. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to them, sounding a lot like a parent who had misplaced their toddler at Target. With concern and desperation, God called out, saying, "Where are you? Where are you?" That's our first story. But hang on, we're not done, for now we're headed for another garden. And this time it is the Olive Garden. There I just woke up three sleeping fathers dreaming of chicken parmesan now. The Olive Garden, though, that I'm talking about is called Gethsemane. And it is located on the sloping hillside of the Mountain Olives, just outside Jerusalem, where Jesus would come to pray. And as we enter this story now, it is the end of the story for Jesus. It is Holy Week. The cross is just around the corner. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter. And going a little farther, Jesus threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but may your will be done." And Jesus returned, and his disciples were sleeping. And Jesus said, "Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The Gospel of the Lord. Father's Day 2018. Happy Father's Day. Now let me start by saying that Father's Day cannot compete with Mother's Day. A mother's bond with her baby is at a whole different level than that which is experienced by the father. Our mother's womb was our first home. For the first 9 months of our life, it is all that we knew. For 9 months, we shared everything with our mother. We were a microscopic parasite, sucking the life and energy from her. A mom who must endure morning sickness and a changing and increasingly uncomfortable body. We begin as a microscopic parasite, but thanks to the partnership between God and our mom, miracle of miracles, the parasite becomes human beings like us. The mother's womb was our first home. The heartbeat we heard was hers. Her voice was the first that we recognized. Her blood runs alongside of our blood. She was the mothership, our food supply, the air that we breathe. She was the entire world to us. And she risked her life to give us life. She labored in pain to give us the gift of life. And as soon as we emerged from the womb, we wanted to be held. We wanted to be cuddled. We longed for the touch of her breast and the milk that was our first meal. Wait a minute, Pastor. It's Father's Day. But like I said, Father's Day cannot compete with Mother's Day. Okay, Father's Day. And I will admit, there would be no child without the father. In a moment of passion, with hormones out of control, with too much alcohol and too little consideration for the consequences of the moment, fathers show up at the moment of conception. But it's not exactly the same commitment, see? Having said that, showing up is important. For mothers and for fathers, showing up is important. 80% of parenting is, in fact, showing up. 80% of life is showing up. Showing up when you are supposed to show up. Showing up when you have promised to show up. Showing up when you might not feel like showing up. Showing up when it might be easier to be someplace else. Showing up when it is not convenient. in the Garden of Eden, as the evening breeze was marking the end of another day, God the Father came to walk with the children, Adam and Eve. And in the garden of his betrayal, Jesus told his disciples to wake up. It was time to go. It was time to show up. It would have been easier to stay in bed. Jesus could have quickly headed back to the Galilee and gone fishing. But that was not what Jesus had promised to do. He promised to show up. Now, it was not his desire to be arrested. It was not his desire to be beaten. It was not a convenient time for him to be crucified. It was not what he wanted to do at that moment. But it was his calling. It was his duty. It was what he had vowed to do. On this Father's Day, on this day when we give thanks for fathers and all who showed up, and as we grieve for fathers who are gone, and as we grieve for fathers who we never knew, on this Father's Day, I would like us to consider what it means to be human, what it means to be connected to other human beings, what it means to be a father. We will find some insight to those considerations by pondering the importance of the largest sensory organ of the human body. Of course, I am talking about the skin. In an adult male, the skin weighs about 8 pounds. Your skin is rather remarkable. Might we even say that your skin is an engineering marvel of the master creator? The nerve endings of your skin send signals or messages via your spinal cord to your brain. The brain then analyzes the information, interpreting the effect of each and every touch. The brain then informs the rest of the body about the appropriate response to the touch that has signaled. And it all happens in a millisecond. Just like this. Yeah. That's hot. And in just a millisecond, your skin informs your brain. The pain is noted. And hopefully you get your hand out of that flame. Because without the skin, without that message, without the nerve endings, without the feeling of pain, well, your hand could burn off before you figured out that this was not a good idea. But there is more. The skin also communicates with the outside world. A doctor knows this. A doctor knows to look to the skin for clues of the health that lies beneath the skin. The color, temperature, texture, moistness and dryness, the thickness and elasticity of the skin provides important clues for physicians. You see, the skin is a miracle given to us by the master designer. Consider this for just a moment. A piece of skin, the size of a quarter, Found it? A piece of skin, the size of a quarter, contains more than 3 million cells. 100 to 300 sweat glands to control your body temperature, 50 nerve endings, and 3 feet of blood vessels. So why am I talking about skin on Father's Day? Because it is the primary place. It is the primary place where we connect with those who are living and with those who are dying. It is the place where we connect with our children and our grandchildren. The healing power of touch soothes skinned knees and fat lips. The soothing power of touch calms the terrors of the night. The soothing power of touch drives out the darkness. The soothing power of touch makes it possible for grandma or grandpa to die in peace. You cannot overstate the power of touch. The 640,000 sensory receptors in the largest organ of our body, comforting us with the presence of another human being who touches us. 640,000 receptors sending a message to the brain. And what is the message? You are not alone. You are not alone in the darkness. You are not alone in your pain. You are not alone in your fear. You're not alone as you face death. You are not alone. Fathers, mothers, grandparents. Have you ever read a bedtime story to your kids or grandkids? Of course you have. But if you think that bedtime stories are simply tools to help children read, think again. If you think that bedtime stories are simply tools teaching, then think again. Yes, children's books are full of colors and animals and the ABCs, fantasy, and everyday images of a child's life, and those are all important, but they pale in comparison with the real message. And the real message is, you are not alone. That message is understood primarily by touch. You see, bedtime stories are about touch, cuddling, a shared moment of intimacy with a story thrown in for good measure. A final message before the child faces the darkness of the night and the strange, strange world of dreams. They want to be touched. They want to be held. They long for a message that can only come through their skin. Touch, holding, connecting. It all reduces their fear and anxiety. And what must happen in order for that message to be received? You must show up. There is a value in reaching out and touching someone with a text or a phone call or FaceTime or Skype. Those are all good. But nothing takes the place of showing up and accessing the intimacy of 640,000 nerve endings. And so I quote the writings of the psychiatrist Dr. James Halliday. He writes these words: infants deprived of their accustomed maternal body contact may develop a profound depression with lack of appetite, wasting away, even leading to death. If the largest organ in the body is deprived, the consequences are devastating. In fact, the consequences can be terminal. In the 19th century, all the way up to about 1920, the death rate for babies abandoned to institutions was nearly 100%. After 1915, doctors made rules requiring that babies be picked up and carried around several times a day, handling, caring, cuddling, and caressing. It was discovered that that was just as important as nutrition to the overall health of the newborn. You see, touch is essential. And it's essential not just to infants, but also for children and adolescents and adults. I can't tell you how many times a widow or a widower in this parish have commented to me about life at Trinity Lutheran Church, saying, I need to come on Sunday morning. It's the only time all week that I'm hugged. It's the only time all week that anyone touches me. 640,000 sensory receptors need to experience human contact. Touch is as important as our nutrition to our overall health. And it's pretty hard to share a hug if we don't show up. It's pretty hard to get those hugs if you just watch me every week online. It's pretty hard to experience a human connection if you do not show up. Now, because of my line of work, I spent a lot of time at deathbeds, being present with those in the final moments or days of their life. Now, for most of us, it's a little outside of our comfort zone, this close encounter with death and grief and loss, trying to figure out how it is that we are to be there with a loved one. We're not really sure how to do that. So what do we do? And what do we say to someone who is dying? Well, I'm struck by the symmetry of birth and death, always, of beginnings and ends. Newborns or toddlers, they're not looking for any profound words from you. They're not looking for any amazing insights from you. They want to hear a recognizable voice, and they want to hear very simple words. I love you. You are safe. You are not alone. I'm here with you. At the end of life, it's exactly the same. The mind and the body, instead of advancing, are now retreating. The lines between this world and the next are now blurring. And no profound words are needed to be spoken. You say simply, I love you, Dad. You are safe, Mom. I am here with you. You are not alone. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil. Simple words of comfort and hope. And of course, consistent with the theme of this sermon, that's not enough. No, both the newly arrived and the soon to be departed need something else. They need to be touched. Words are less important. Touch is all important. Nothing can take the place of touch. And it is very hard to touch if we don't show up. 80% of life is just showing up. You see, children like God, they pretty much just love you. And they don't care what kind of clothes you have. They don't care what designer labels are on your jeans. Children don't care how many letters appear after your name. They don't care about your title at work. It does not impress them. Children won't remember if you drove a Lexus or a Tesla or a Dodge Dart, but they will remember if you showed up. And more importantly, their sense of self, their security, their capacity to show up for others will be largely determined by your faithfulness in showing up for them. In the cool of the evening, God came to the garden to walk with God's children, our first parents. And when they were lost, and when they were hiding, God did not leave them. God did not move on to some other project. No, God came and found them. And in the darkness of Holy Week, when Jesus went to that garden to pray, He did not want to sacrifice everything for His children, but He did it. He could have slipped away, but He chose to show up. Father's Day, 2018. Now, a father plays many roles: a provider, a disciplinarian, a coach, a role model, a mentor, a protector, and a friend. But mostly, it's just about showing up. Who is there in the middle of the night when they're sick? Who is there in the middle of the night to calm their fears? Who is there to go out in the backyard and play catch with them? Who is there to watch the 400th performance of the Nutcracker? I must admit, some of my best power naps were taken at the Nutcracker. And who is there when that boy shows up at the door to pick up the most precious gift that you have in your life? You need to be there to say, have her home on time, son. I'll be waiting up, polishing my shotgun. So please walk her to the door. Let's forget Father's Day. Let's forget Mother's Day. This is about what it means to be human. This is about seeing life as it is. Life is short, very short. Life is fleeting, very fleeting. And children are not little for long. So listen to your skin. Consider your priorities and rethink what it means to be human. Listen to your skin and observe the life of the one who we follow. Jesus, who is fully human, modeled for us what it means to be human. He touched lepers. He welcomed children. He listened to the brokenhearted. He ate meals with outcasts. He spoke tender words of forgiveness. And He never did it by email or text message. He was present. He showed up. He knew that nothing could take the place of showing up.